Good to see you guys, man. It's always good to worship together, right? If y'all didn't tell by all of the hooting and hollering, my name is Jeff Hughes, and I get the privilege of being able to share a sermon with you all. So, just got a few thoughts. We've been looking through some parables, and Vince hit me up and said, I got a parable I want you to preach through, so, you know, it's kind of hard to tell Vince no. But I'm glad to be here with you guys. You know, we're looking at Luke chapter 11, verses 5 through, I want to say 11. Got to double check my notes. We're talking about a story where God is compared to a friend, right? Like the God character in this parable is a friend, supposing that you go to a friend and ask them a ridiculous question. And it really got me thinking about friendship, right? Friends are something we all are familiar with, right? We all are familiar with, you know, the idea of having a friend. We all have friends. Hopefully you have some friends. If you don't have a friend, I'll be your friend. Come on. We all need friends. But friendship, there's levels to it. There's levels to friendship, right? You guys, you probably have a handful of friends, but you don't consider all your friends the same, right? You got friends that you can joke with. You know what I'm saying? You got friends that you can make fun of and still be cool with. You know what I mean? Like, you know you're really, really friends with somebody when you can, you know, make fun of them a little bit and they still be cool with. And you're really friends with them if you can hurt their feelings and y'all can talk about it afterwards and, like, get back right. You know what I'm saying? Like, I got to be honest, but it's funny. I look over here. I see my man Stu. Now, all of you guys know that Stu's name isn't Stu. However, anybody who's actually his friend does not call him by his real name. If you want to know his real name, you can ask him. We make fun of him about it incessantly. And he hates it. He really does. But we don't care because we're his friend. I just want you to know I know it's your name. And just like I know your first name, I know that your favorite movie is Balto. The only person that makes sense to is Stu and maybe a handful of us that was in campus ministry together. When you're friends with somebody, you got history with them. You can speak about it, right? You know what I mean? But, you know, friendship is a relationship, and it can, you know, ebb and flow, right? You got friends that, you know, it can be really, very dependent upon the circumstance that you met them in. I'm sure y'all had friends in high school that y'all are not friends with no more. And it ain't really because of them. It's more that you ain't really talked to them like that. Or it might be because it's them. I don't know. It could be. I don't know. So I work in a high school, obviously. I teach high school math. I see high schoolers on a day-to-day basis, and their friendships are hilarious. I tell them they are not really friends with one another. And they're like, man, no, I'm a good friend. I'm a A1 mans. I'm a W mans. It's like, you are not a W mans. You are L mans. If you don't know what that means, you are a loser, man. You set your mans up for failure. Why? Because you can't hold your friend accountable. All right? If that was really your friend, they would not be asking me what page number we on. Because that looks goofy if we've been talking about this for 15 minutes and you still don't have the page. You sit next to bro. Like, you're not his friend. You're not his friend. You know what I mean? Let's just be honest. But you have friends that, you know, you don't talk to as often just because of the distance, right? You know, everybody's got a friend that lives in another city or in another place that you just don't talk to on a regular basis. If you're an adult, you live in life, you got stuff going on, you got, you know, you might have kids, everybody's got a job, you got different responsibilities. It's hard to keep up with somebody that's not directly in your line of sight every day, right? So we got friends that we keep up with on a regular basis or on an occasional basis, or people that you don't talk to until you see them. But when you see them, everything is just like as if you left them, right? I think that friendship really is evidence that a relationship we get to choose, right? You don't get to choose your family. You know, you're kind of born in whatever family that you were born into, right? You know, for better or for worse. Your friends, though, you get to pick who's your friend. And the way you treat your friends is very evident of the depth of that relationship. So if we compare God to a friend, how do you treat God in your prayer life? What does your prayer life say about your friendship with God? Right? Because if we look at, before we dive into this scripture, we're going to look at Luke chapter 11. I'm going to go ahead and pray, and we're going to jump right into Luke chapter 11, verse 5. Father in heaven, I just want to thank you for this time. Thank you for us being able to come together and worship. It's something I always look forward to. I'm glad that I have not only friends in this room, but family in this room. And it's just great to be able to have community. It's something that we desperately need, and it's something that I never want to take for granted. I pray that as we look at your word, we can be, you know, encouraged if we need to be encouraged, convicted if we need to be convicted, and made uncomfortable if we need to be made uncomfortable. It's in Christ I pray. Amen. Amen. Jumping into Luke chapter 11, verse 5. Then Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of your friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. Let's stop there. Shameless audacity. A lot of times friendship is not enough. Have y'all been on the receiving end of friendship not being enough? Surely we've been on the giving end of friendship not being enough, you know? But shameless audacity, right? Is your depth of relationship with your friend enough that you can be audacious enough to go a little bit too far? Because when you really care about somebody, you don't want to be, you considerate of them. Right? Your consideration of that person will keep you from being particularly audacious, right? I had a situation, and it was funny. This was a while back. I was playing ball. My older nephew asked me if I wanted to go hoop with him. And I was like, all right, cool. We've been trying to hoop for a while. I was like, when do you play? He said, man, I play at 9:30 at night down in South County. I was like, wait, why? I was like, you clearly do not want to play with me. Okay, it's too late. You know, I'm okay with the drive. It's too late. I got to work. But so I'm like, all right, cool. I'm off that next day. That's chill. We're going to do it. Let's go hoop. It'll be good to hang out. So I go. We play. We have some fun. It's some very good pickup ball. We leaving at about midnight. I get out to my car, and I realize my car won't start. I thought I left my lights on in my car, but I realized my lights were turned off. So that was really scary, right? Like, oh man, if my lights are off and there was no light on in the car, why is my car not starting? So he tries to give me a jump. And with our limited car knowledge, we came to the conclusion that we did not have the ability to get the car started. I told him to go home because I didn't want my sister to be worried about him trying to figure out what I had going on. Plus, he had a friend that he needed to take home. I think his friend had school the next day. So I was like, I don't want to hold you up. I'm trying to figure out what to do. And I'm like, man, who could I call in this situation? I'm like, man, I don't want to bring anybody all the way down here. Like, everybody I could think of is way too far away that I would hit up. Long story short, between calling the Uber, leaving my phone in the Uber, and doing a whole lot of other things, I ended up getting home at about 3:30, 4 a.m. That's rough. I told this story to Brian Gross, and Brian was like, bro, I would have came. I live like 10 minutes from where you were. I was not audacious enough to ask this man to get out of bed to come do that. But had I been, he would have came, right? Yeah. You know? Sometimes friendship isn't enough, but willing to ask the question, you would be surprised what people would be willing to do for you if they care about you. Amen. Right? But I don't think we are that way with God. Or are we? Right? The depth of your relationship affects how audacious you are. How deep is your relationship with God? I guess the better question is, what stops you from reaching out to God and being audacious? I've got 3 things that could be obstacles for us in being audacious in our prayer life with God. And then I have 1 last point that kind of wraps things up. So let's talk about those 4 things, 3 things and then 1 thing. One thing that stops us from reaching out and praying to God is that you don't know him well enough. Right? If you don't know somebody, you're not going to ask them for help unless you are absolutely desperate. You know what I mean? Like if I noticed somebody in the parking lot, they were like by themselves. They were sitting in the car upset when I pulled up to, you know, the grocery store. And when I came out of the grocery store, they were still sitting there upset, sitting on the side of their car. And I just had to ask them, hey, what's going on? It's like, man, I need a jump. And I need a jump from my car. My car won't start. I was like, man, I'll help you. It's like, really? Strangers still help people? I was like, I guess. I got jumper cables. So, do you guys feel like that? Do you not know God well enough to know that he cares about you? Right? If you look at John 8:28, it says, Then Jesus said to them, suppose, wait. So Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he and that I do nothing on my own but speak just what the Father has taught me. I don't know if that's the scripture I was looking for. I might have gave it to him wrong. But you know, in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. Amen. Right. As I think it's the scripture I was looking for. Romans 8, 28. Thank you. Thank you, friends and family. Romans 8, 28. That's my bad, not Van's bad. But if we know that God works for the good of those who love him, if we must not know him. Either we don't know that he loves us, or we don't love him enough. Wow. Right? If we're not willing to pray. That's a question that we have to ask ourselves. How do we grow in our love for God? Well, coming to church is a great start. But getting in your word and learning more about God's love for you will help you to grow that relationship. I encourage you, if you feel like you don't know God well enough to pray, to do that. And if you don't know where to start, ask the person sitting next to you. Or ask the person sitting next to them. Or ask the person sitting next to them. Somebody is going to get you. You know what I mean? Amen. We're going to get there. It's a community, right? The second thing, shame or sin has you feeling separated from God. So you don't want to pray. You guys ever feel like, oh, man, I got to get certain things right before I can be worthy enough to pray to God, right? It's a lie that we tell ourselves. It's a lie that a lot of us believe. It's a lie that I can believe sometimes. Like, I don't have it right at the moment. Like, I just sinned. I just was impure. I just was angry. I just was whatever. And I got to, like, figure that out, have a couple days where I do it the right way, and then I can pray. That's a lack of understanding of God's grace, right? If we don't understand God's grace, it's going to be hard. We're going to have a hard time praying because we're going to keep that wall between us. We can't fix it anyway. And if we really think about it, we were never good enough to pray to him in the first place, right? It was his love for us that even gave us the avenue. So why would we rob him of the opportunity, right? What's that? Hebrews 4:16. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Amen. You got to be willing to approach the throne. In fact, the fact that you have, you know, whatever shame or whatever sin is more reason to approach him than not to. We can't let ourselves listen to that lie. Third thing that can keep us from reaching out and praying to God. You've been hurt by God. And whenever you've been hurt by somebody, you have a hard time reaching out to them, right? If you think about friendships that you've lost, a lot of times you lose a friendship because something happened between you and you don't want to deal with it, right? Which is a whole other lesson in and of itself about reconciliation and something that we have to be open about. But what if that's between us and God, right? What ways can God hurt us and keep us from going to him? I think for me, and maybe you might relate to this, it can be unanswered prayer. Like, I have prayed, and God has not responded, right? Well, I'm going to keep praying about the same thing over and over and over again, right? Like, and not getting an answer. Like, man, that's hurtful. It'd be like if you keep asking somebody to help you out, and they keep saying that they will, or you know that they're supposed to, and they don't, right? Are you going to keep asking that person for help? Right, if every time I ask, like, man, every time somebody needed help moving and they hit you up and you always was like, yeah, you never pulled up, you probably would not get asked to help people move, which might be something that y'all was looking for, you know, but that's bad. If you say you're going to do it, you got to do it. At least tell the person no, right? That's a side note. That doesn't happen to me, I'm just saying. That ain't never happened to me. I do get asked to help people move a lot, though. Hey man, a campus of singles days, boy, you be moving boxes and furniture. Nobody wants to do that. That is an act of love. That's an act of love. Man. But a lot of times though, right? If you're hurt by somebody, not only do you not want to, you know, talk to them, but you never bring up the thing that you was hurt about, right? And making that assumption assumes that God cannot handle your hurts, right? We putting God in a box. If you look And throughout the Old Testament, whenever, you know, you would see somebody praying, a lot of times they would start off with some, like, audacious prayers. Like, they was like, oh, man, dude, this is crazy. Like, God, where is your justice? Whoa. It's like, God, are you not good? Whoa. Like, I don't know. I just, me personally, I wouldn't test God. I feel like it's testing God. But you see it so often in the Bible, it's almost as though we're encouraged to pray in that way. If you can't bring your hurts to God, how can you be reconciled with him? If you look at Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. How long, Lord, must I call for your help, but you do not listen? Or cry out to you, violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Destruction and violence are before me, and there is strife and a conflict abounds. Therefore, the law is paralyzed, and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous, so that justice is perverted. Man, if you ever have a chance to read Habakkuk, I encourage you to, because it's relatable. He had two complaints, and he really was feeling like he was calling out God, like, man, God, you not acting, and you not doing what you could be doing. God responds to him twice. Now, one, that would be frightening in and of itself if God spoke to me in like a couple paragraphs. Like, I don't know what that would feel like, what that would be like. I feel like we'd be wanting God to answer, but we really don't be wanting God to answer like that. It's like some next level, like you say something and God just starts talking. I'm going to go and hide. But God responds, and Habakkuk has to take what God says, right? Because it kind of leads me to my last point that kind of wraps these things together. Like, you can't pray audaciously and not have the faith that God's answer is with your best in mind, right? A lot of times, especially looking back at the second point, like, oh, man, there's something in between us, right? Like, well, God, I've been hurt by God. God isn't answering my prayers. Maybe God has answered your prayer and it just wasn't what you was looking for in the moment, right? You know, I've been there. Like, man, no is an answer too. Nobody likes being told no. You know, I think a lot of single brothers have been rejected enough times. We know that no hurts bad enough, right? We all have experienced rejection. We all have been told no as kids. Hopefully it makes you a better person. It really does. I teach a lot of kids that don't get told no often enough, and I hate to be the person to do it, you know? But if we can't pray audaciously and not be willing to accept God's answers, right? You know, Habakkuk was upset that the Israelites were under oppression. And God told him that, like, man, I will do something in your days that you wouldn't believe, even if I told you. Which, man, amen. And then Habakkuk responds, God, you are everlasting. Like, you live outside of time. I have a limited amount of time. Like, what are you talking about? You're going to do something in my day? You're going to, like, what does that mean to me, really? You know what I mean? Like, it's like telling, oh, man, just wait and see. Wait until when? Right? Wait and see. Like, what do you mean? That wasn't enough. And when you think about it, I wish I was the way of like, yeah, all right, God said that, cool. I'm exactly like Habakkuk. Like, yo, when is it going to happen? Please tell me. If you tell me when, or if you tell me how long I'm going to have to endure this, if you tell me, you know, just if you give me a number of things I'm going to have to deal with, if I have some way to judge how far I'm going, it'll be a lot easier to trust you. That's not how God operates, right? That's not how God operates. And so in praying audaciously, if you look throughout the Old Testament, throughout all of the Psalms, if you look throughout like all of the prophets, you see that they have questions of God, they have frustrations with God, they have hurts with God. God responds, and then they always come back to, you know, who God is and remembering that God has their best in mind. If you look at Habakkuk 3, 17 through 19, the way the book ends, though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior. Amen. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer, and he enables me to tread on the heights for the director of music on my string instruments. Side note, if he sang that, that's wild. I wonder what that song would have sounded like. That whole prayer, like, it's been crazy. You got to trust that God has your best in mind. Yeah. Right? Yeah. You got to trust that, like, when you pray, God is listening and God is working.
Yes, he is.
Right? Luke 11 finishes off in verses 9 and 10. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be open. Now I could read that and say, man, if I ask for anything, God will do it. Or I can read that and say, well, if I'm knocking on the door, I have to accept what's behind it.
All right, all right.
I think perspective can be everything for us when we think about our prayers, right? Right. If I'm asking the question, I have to be willing to listen to the answer. I have to, like, open my ears for the answer. And if the door gets opened after I pray for it, I have to be willing to walk through the open door. Right. Prayer is as much an opportunity for us to, you know, answer God as an opportunity for us to be faithful. Can't ask for something and then I'll be faithful. Right. Friendship may not be enough. Right. In a lot of situations. But if we want to be shamefully audacious, we have to, one, we have to know God well enough to be audacious. We have to not let sin or shame keep us separated from God. We have to be willing to talk to God about our hurts. And we have to faithfully ask, seek, and knock. Thank you, guys.